The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Glad you can be with us on this fantastic Monday afternoon edition of the Dory Monson Show. Busy day today. Lots of news, lots of exclusives, lots of stuff you are not going to hear anyplace else, including has Patty Murray conspired with three major corporations to try to stem the surge of Tiffany Smiley. I had that story for you exclusively on Friday afternoon. We have more details today, and Tiffany Smiley is going to join me tomorrow afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. But we have more details on that coming up in just a couple of minutes here. But so much to do. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
After 21 years of playoff futility, after the longest playoff drought in all of pro sports, not just baseball, but NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB, finally, Friday night, those diehard Mariner fans were rewarded for the 21 years of futility that they persevered through.
Here's the stretch. The 3-2 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Stay fair. Holy smokes, he did it. Off the Hidden Air Cafe. Cal Raleigh with a walk-off home run. How sweet it is. The Mariners end the 20-year drought on a walk-off home run.
We're going nuts. And it was a lot of fun. It's fun when you have something that brings people together in joy. You know, I talk about that all the time, that, you know, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, when the Mariners make a run like this, it galvanizes a community that is in bad need of galvanizing right now. Usually the only other thing besides sports that brings us together is tragedy. You know, if a cop or a firefighter is killed, then we come together as one. But in joy, there are few things like sports that bring a community together. So it was really cool. It was really fun. But here is why I wanted to focus on this today. Because after a team clinches a playoff spot, 99% of them go into the locker room and they just start spraying each other with beer and champagne, and they pour it all over the poor television and radio and newspaper reporters who are in there trying to chronicle the celebration. They tape tarps over all the lockers so that all their personal effects won't get destroyed by being sprayed with alcohol. But it was different for the Mariners on Friday night, and it was different in a way that impressed me deeply. And that's because instead of just running in and popping the corks and spraying all over with the champagne, they took a moment. And at this moment, I realized their guy, Scott Servais, their manager, he's a great manager. And I also realized that it's a group of players that once people get to know them a little bit better and better and better, hopefully as things go on, you know, in the next few weeks, it's a really nice group to support. You know, in pro sports, people are often torn. Oh, I love the team, but I can't stand some of the guys. This seems like a really good group. And just the fact that they had this moment before the celebration began, you know, I watched stuff like this from a coach's perspective, and I thought this was special. It's not necessarily unique, but it is very, very rare that instead of just screaming like maniacs, they took a reflective moment first.
You guys are the fifth team to ever make the playoffs. When we set out at the beginning of spring training, okay, we had a goal. And we know what it felt like last year when we didn't get in. You guys that were here, it hurt. But really, everybody in this room, every player, every staff member, trainer, strength coach, everybody has had a hand in this along the way. We need to enjoy this. We are just getting started.
Hell yeah. We're going to play ball now.
We got a hell of a team in here. I'm going to show the rest of the ball we do, okay? But I can't be more proud of this group, really. You guys are awesome to work with. Love managing you. Robbie, where you at? Get up here. What do you got, Chief? We talked about going out and taking it. Those last three games right there, that's going out and taking it.
Yeah.
That's Mariners baseball right there. 1-0, 1-1, coming back in the end. Cal, couldn't have been a better guy to end it right there. Now it's time to party, boys.
Gino, are you ready?
Are you ready? You ready?
And then the champagne started spraying and the beer was flowing and they were acting like little kids. But they took about a minute and a half there to just be brothers, to be with each other, for the manager to talk to them the way great leaders talk. And I'm not just talking about in sports. Business could learn a lot from great sports leaders. Because here's what I've learned over the years, and here's what I'm stunned that more business leaders don't realize this. If you want somebody to perform at their very best, if you want somebody to give everything that they have to give, not just to you, but to the team, to themselves, if you want people to reach their potential, you have to let them know that you care about them, that you love them, that you respect what they do, as long as they've earned that respect. And I think it's safe to say with this team, they've earned respect. But that's why I wanted to broaden this out from just sports to the business world, because there are so many lousy bosses out there who think that leadership is somehow intimidation or having people afraid, they got to look over their back, that sort of stuff. And that never works. Never works. And so as I watched this, I thought, their manager, Scott Service, that's a great leader. It would have been really tempting for him, because you got a bunch of 22 to, you know, mainly 22 to 28, 29-year-old guys. And they're filled with testosterone. They are just filled with having just accomplished something that hadn't been done in 21 years. And they wanted to just run in there and blow their top. But instead, he said, hold on one sec. And he didn't make it too long either. It took about a minute. But he said, I want a minute for us to come together first, to recognize that this was about the team, that this was about what we all did for each other and with each other. When I watched that, I thought, this team has more potential than what their record might suggest, because they have a great leader and they had guys who were listening. They had guys who were just maturely listening to that message and soaking it in. So, you know, I told you I didn't get the games on TV this season, but I'll get the rest of them now that they're on network TV. And I'm going to be rooting for them. Going to be rooting for them hard, because I was really impressed with what I saw. And there's a reason why this group did what 21 iterations of this team in years past have not been able to do. So very fun. Glad the community has this excitement. Glad that this run's going to continue. So that's why we made that our top story today. Okay, we do have some other stuff to talk about. We'll talk more about that as the day goes on, though. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
We told you on Friday, this news came to us right at the end of our show, and I wanted to dive into this a little bit deeper here. three major corporations have lined up apparently to support the Democrat in the Washington Senate campaign that's being waged right now between Patty Murray and Tiffany Smiley. The Wall Street Journal broke this story. Kimberly Strassel's a fantastic reporter at the Wall Street Journal. And this piece was headlined, Corporate Dirty Pool in Washington's Senate Race. And what it talked about is that Tiffany Smiley, 3 months ago, she was considered an impossibility to overcome a 30-year incumbent like Patty Murphy. But Tiffany Smiley has been slowly closing the gap, 8%. There was one poll last week that said that she was within 2%. And one of the reasons she has been closing the gap effectively is because she has been running some commercials that have been very effective. In one of them, this ran first during the Seahawks-Broncos Monday night game to open the season. And as you know, Tiffany Smiley's husband, United States combat veteran, he lost his eyesight fighting for this country. And in 2014, the Seahawks honored him to raise the 12 flag. And in doing so, they gave him a Seahawks jersey, as they do for all the 12 flag raisers. And in the commercial, he is wearing that jersey, although you can barely see it. He's sitting on a high-backed couch. And as the Wall Street Journal said, maybe if you had a couple of magnifying glass, you could see one or two letters in the word Seahawks. And then it's got the distinctive Seahawks blue and like lime green colors. And here's a little bit of that ad.
Game day sure has changed. Joe Biden and Patty Murray are working overtime to make everything more expensive. And working families are feeling the squeeze. Hot dogs up 26%. Eggs almost 40%. Even beer.
Are you kidding me?
That's why in the Senate I will oppose the wasteful spending that brought us this inflation.
Are you kidding me? He's wearing the jersey the Seahawks gave him when they honored him to raise the 12 flag after he lost his vision fighting for this country. So that's one effective commercial. Another one. It shows her standing in front of a shuttered, boarded-up Starbucks store up on Capitol Hill.
These doors are closed because it's too dangerous to ask employees to work here anymore. Think about that. For decades, Patty Murray has spearheaded reckless policies that lead to shortages, inflation, and so much crime that you can't even get a cup of coffee from the hometown shop on Capitol Hill, even if you could still afford it.
Okay, now, behind her is Starbucks had the raised letters Starbucks, but they're backwards because they're at the top of the building and this is being shot from the back of the building. And then also the Seattle Times, actual real life headline, Starbucks closing stores because of crime. The Seattle Times logos appear on this ad. Well, within just several hours of each other, three majors, some might say three of the biggest corporate entities in the Seattle area, the Seattle Seahawks, the Seattle Times, and Starbucks, they sent a cease and desist letter, three of them, to Tiffany Smiley's campaign. Starbucks said, oh, you can't use the word Starbucks, even if it's backwards in an actual street scene. And the Seattle Times said, oh, yeah, you can't show our headlines, that's copyrighted material. And the Seattle Seahawks, bizarrely, came along and said, yeah, your blind veteran 12 flag raiser husband, he can't be wearing a Seahawks jersey. Now, is that a coincidence? Because what Kimberly Strassel at the Wall Street Journal said is it would be an almost unbelievable coincidence for those three major corporations within just a few hours of each other to send cease and desist letters to Tiffany Smiley. So the Wall Street Journal asks if this is what has happened. All of a sudden, in the most recent poll, Tiffany Smiley is within 2 points of Patty Murray. Now, this would be one of the greatest upsets in Senate political history, to have a newcomer like Tiffany Smiley upset 30-year incumbent. The Wall Street Journal speculates, believes, that Patty Murray's or her campaign people went to the Seattle Times, went to the Seattle Seahawks, went to Starbucks and said, hey, I'm losing ground here. Can you guys help me out? These commercials are really good and they're really effective. And they point out Patty Murray's lack of leadership. And we can't let people see that she has absolutely no leadership skills. Can you guys help us out? So the Starbucks, the Times, and the Seahawks all send cease and desist letters to Tiffany Smiley and her campaign. Is that a coincidence? Well, I'll tell you something else that's going on right now. There is a candidate for the state Senate who is running on social media right now. Pictures of her. Her name is Tara Simmons. She is a pro-crime, pro-criminal legislative candidate. And she has on Facebook a picture of her with four Seahawks players. She says in it that she is crime, law and order reformer, which is what has gotten us into so much criminal trouble around here. The reformers want to let criminals go. They want to decriminalize violence. They want to make sure that crime does not get punished. And Tara Simmons is one of those. Well, she has a bunch of pictures in the locker room at Seahawks headquarters with Seahawks players. And the Seahawks are allowing that. Some of the people in the pictures are wearing Seahawks shirts. Now, this is on social media and not in paid political advertisements, but I don't see how the difference could be that stark. Either the Seahawks want to be a political organization or they don't. But what it seems to me is they don't want to be a political organization if it helps a Republican. And the truth of the matter is that ever since Paul Allen passed away, and Paul Allen was far left politically, but his sister Jody Allen is the controlling partner, and she is way left politically. And so it seems that the Seattle Seahawks just want to be a leftist political operation. And heaven forbid anybody, even if it's a woman whose husband raised the 12 flag after losing his sight, fighting for the country, being given a Seahawks jersey, they are told no by the Seattle Seahawks. But the leftist pro-crime candidates, they're left alone. This is what I was talking about on Friday. The deck is stacked with the media and the corporate world, and it's all stacked in favor of the Democrat Party. We'll keep an eye on this one. Tiffany Smiley will join us tomorrow afternoon to talk about all of this. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, so much more to do. Jay Inslee has issued a mandate. Only electric cars can be sold in Washington State beginning next decade. There are a couple of problems. First of all, the CEO of Toyota, which is an EV pioneer, they say, yeah, there's no way to achieve that goal. Secondly, Jay Inslee will not allow anybody to tell us how much this is going to cost taxpayers. Wait till you hear the details that we've uncovered on this. That's coming up right after we check the news as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Now, I'm checking your text messages. You can always reach me during the show. Give your feedback. Text us at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. One of the listeners upset with me. Upset with me? How can anybody ever be upset with me? Crying out loud. Dory, you think you're such a genius. Just who exactly is Patty Murphy? I have no idea. I'm from the mean streets of Ballard. I'm just doing a little talk show host. You're going to have to direct your question to the President of the United States, please.
Patty Murphy.
Yeah. Ask him. He's got all the answers. So one of the things that we've been seeing in the wake of this horrible hurricane is, boy, you know that our nation's in good hands when you got Joe, don't call her Murray Biden, and then Kamala Harris at the top here. So over the weekend, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, she explained that the federal government is indeed going to go and help out the people in Florida, as long as they're people of color. Those stupid white people who were affected by this hurricane, well, she's got nothing to do with them. But Kamala Harris said this is how they're going to dole out the hurricane resources.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making. And so we... Absolutely. And so we have...
The person who's interviewing Kamala, because Kamala is talking about people of color need to have the hurricane relief. And then the woman who's interviewing goes, how about women? And Kamala says, absolutely. So anyway, so what we're finding out is any white man who were stupid enough to get caught in this hurricane, you're on your own. But the Vice President of the United States and whoever's interviewing her, they're going to make sure that people of color, it's for equity, people of color and women are going to get the federal hurricane assistance.
Lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making. And so we, absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
Yep.
And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities. And do that work.
And the crowd loves that too, because you know why they love it so much? Because she had the woke word dice up there. She didn't know what she was going to say, but then she started talking, and then all of a sudden, come on, let me load up. Donald just went, yeah, we're going to help out people of color because it's for equity. And then the interviewer says, well, what about women? Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, if you're a white man, stupid enough to get caught in this hurricane, you're on your own, because it would simply not be equitable to help you out, because everybody's got to start from the same place. And if we can destroy your life, stupid whitey, if we can destroy your life, then we're going to get you starting from the same place as the people of color and the women, apparently. And I told you about this last week. Just last week, I found from a couple of years ago on Bainbridge Island, their DEI coordinator was talking about what the goal is of all this equity and equality. They told us what it's all about.
So everybody, that equity and equality is are two really different things. You know, we want things to be equal for everybody, but for things to be equal for everybody, we all have to start at the same spot.
Yes.
You know, we and that's one of the hardest concepts for people to understand, is that we are not all born at the same spot. You know, some people have a leg up on life that other people don't. And the whole thing about equity is making sure we all are at the same starting point.
Yes. Yeah, that was brilliant. Now, I don't know exactly how that works, because if I had waited for the government to get me to the same starting point as 90% of my peers when I was a kid, well, I'd still be waiting. I'd still be back in the starting blocks. So I need government to provide equity. But instead, I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to listen to this government nonsense. I'll just go and do it myself. But I just want to say I'm very, very happy that Kamala Harris has made it clear that after one of the most devastating hurricanes ever to hit Florida, that the federal government, and particularly the Biden-Harris administration, are going to make sure that Whitey doesn't get any help down there. And I want to congratulate her for the progressivity of such a brilliant position. Hey, a couple other things. Oh, man. You know, let me take a quick time out here. Because Jay Inslee has said that he is mandating no gas car vehicles beginning next decade here in Washington. Well, let's take a look at how that would work if a similar natural disaster to what just happened in Florida were to happen here. Let's just see how the evac plans will go. Because we're getting some details on this that you need to know about. All right, more to come as the Roy Monson Show rolls on. Well, this is something we should all think about in the wake of Hurricane Ian and the devastation across Florida. Jay Inslee a few weeks ago said that here in Washington that he's going to ban the sale of all gas and diesel-powered cars, pickups, and SUVs beginning next decade. So one of the questions that must be asked in anything like this, it should be demanded of us whenever government issues a mandate, is what is the cost and what is the benefit? Well, Jay Inslee tells us the benefit is that he'll save the planet. He'll stop the hurricanes. It's weird. Democrats have had control of the House, the Senate, and the White House for the last couple of years. They didn't stop this hurricane. Democrats, are you lying to us? But anyway, what's the cost? What is the benefit? Everything that we do should be analyzed on a return on investment basis. So how much is it going to cost you and me when Jay Inslee's plan to ban all gas and diesel cars, trucks, and SUVs is implemented next month? We just found out over the weekend, the answer is, we don't know. Nobody knows. Washington State's Department of Ecology says they will not analyze the cost of Jay Inslee's mandate to go to all electric. They say that, look, we're going to do what California's doing. A guy named Andrew Weinecke is with the Washington State Department of Energy. And he said, we're just going to do it. So it doesn't matter how much it's going to cost because Jay says we're just going to do it. Now, the problem about this is 2 years ago, our state legislature passed a bill and said, if California does something with climate change, we're going to do the same thing because California is our hero. So the Democrats in Olympia said, we're just going to follow whatever California does. Well, California is tens of billions of dollars in deficit, and they're on the brink of bankruptcy all the time. But the Department of Energy guy said, it doesn't matter how much it's going to cost. The Democrats passed a bill and said, we are going to do whatever California does, no matter the cost. Now, this is what happens when you put intellectual and emotional three-year-olds in the Washington State Legislature. They say, yeah, let's spend your money, my money. They won't tell us how much of our money. They're just going to tell us, we're going to do this, and you're going to give us whatever it costs. The Western States Petroleum Association said we need a comprehensive analysis because this is going to cost a fortune. And in fact, just over the weekend, the CEO of Toyota, Akio Toyoda, I think that's adorable, by the way. The company is Toyota, T-A, and the CEO is Akio Toyoda, T-A. Isn't that adorable? Maybe it's just me. Anyway, Akio Toyoda, over the weekend, through an interpreter, he said, Toyota is considered, besides Tesla, the top automaker in the world in its positioning, because they had the Toyota Prius. They're the number one automaker in the world to switch to all electric. And their CEO said, there's absolutely no way that Washington State and California are going to make the deadline by next decade. He said it's impossible for a bunch of reasons. Energy grid cannot handle it, he said. He said that, I mean, can you imagine in Florida what evac would have been like if they had all EVs down there? Do you know what the death toll would have been? If all these people who'd had their power knocked out and discovered they couldn't charge their car and they had to sit there as the storm surge came and the water filled their lungs and took the air out of them as they died the horrible drowning death. Can you imagine if Florida was all EVs? And right now, California, Washington, Florida, anywhere, no place is ready for this mandate of all EVs by next decade. So Jay Inslee continues to live in a fantasy land. He doesn't care how much it's going to cost us. He doesn't care how many lives it's going to put in danger. All he knows is that next time he goes to the World Economic Forum, they're going to slap him on the back and muss up his hair and say, good job, Jay, you're one of us. I tell you what, he ain't one of us. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the Fastest 15 is coming up next. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including the property tax around here. You know, it's based on when properties were much higher 6 months ago. It's going to cost you a fortune. Details straight ahead.